I want to invite you to consider with me the message of God to His people in Haggai chapter 1. I'd like to give you somewhat of an understanding of this passage before we read it, to look at the context of this period in history in which it was written. Israel is no longer an independent nation. Children of Israel have forsaken the purpose for which God established them. Isaiah 49:6 says that Israel was established to be a light unto the Gentiles. Two purposes for Israel. Number one, to magnify the Lord's name. Number two, that is to propagate the message of salvation of the Lord. They failed to do that. They began to worship other idols. And therefore, God split the kingdom. The northern part has been in captivity now for some time. The southern two tribes, Benjamin and Judah, were taken into captivity in Babylon. And now there's a new king that has, in fact, invaded and taken over. And his name is Cyrus. This is 70 years they've been in captivity when this passage was written during this period of time. In such an unusual and miraculous way, God begins to deal with this heathen king. God deals with this king of an enemy nation, the king of Persia, and he stirs up his spirit to go back into Israel and send a remnant back to Jerusalem to rebuild the temple which Nebuchadnezzar has destroyed. Nebuchadnezzar had taken the vessels out of the temple and had used them in an idolatrous, sinful manner. And King Cyrus, God stirs his heart, and he tells the leaders of this displaced people to go back into Jerusalem, whose ever heart was prepared to go back to rebuild the temple of the Lord. God does this for the nation of Israel because He loves His people and He wants to honor His name. Never forget the purpose of Israel. And that is to honor and magnify the name of the Lord God of Abraham. And so He does just that. Takes back nearly 50,000 people back to Jerusalem. This is during the time of Ezra. This is during the time of the prophet Zechariah. And Haggai here, the prophet now, this is about 15 to 16 years after they had gone back to Jerusalem. So they've had 15 years to rebuild the temple. But a little bit of opposition comes a few months after they got back to Jerusalem. Some opposition from the enemy of God and the enemy of Israel. And may I say, the enemy of Israel is the enemy of God. The enemy of the church today is the enemy of God. The enemy of the Christian is the enemy of God today. And so some opposition comes up, and the building in Ezra chapter 2, the building of the temple ceases. The people are comfortable there, though. They're not in captivity. They're not back in Babylon. They're comfortable living in their own land now. God has restored them to their homeland, and now they're comfortable. And they build their own houses. They're living comfortably. They're living a comfortable life now. And that's the period in history where we're at right now in about the year 520 before the birth of Christ. In Haggai chapter 1 and verse number 2, Haggai says that the Lord of hosts says, "This people say, the time has not come, the time that the Lord's house should be built." They said, it's not time to build the Lord's house. We've tried and we had some opposition. It's not important to us to do the Lord's work of the Lord's house. Verse number 3, "Then came the word of the Lord by Haggai the prophet, saying, Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house lies waste." God had a specific purpose, keep in mind, for the temple. The presence of the Lord dwelt in a tent during Moses' reign, during Moses' time, during the time of the judges, during the time of Solomon and David. David wants to build a beautiful house for the Lord. God says, "I will not allow you, but I will allow your son to." For 7 years, he builds the temple on Mount Moriah, some 400 years before that. 800 years before that, God had led Abraham to go to Mount Moriah. And Abraham takes his son Isaac to offer him as a sacrifice to the Lord. On Mount Moriah, God tells Abraham that he will provide a lamb. 1900 years later, on Mount Moriah, God provided a lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. It is on Mount Moriah also that the angel had come and was destroying the people of Israel after David had sinned by numbering the children of Israel. God says, I'll give you a choice. David chooses the hand of God, and God begins to punish the children of Israel. And he stops at a specific place on Mount Moriah. The hand of the angel, the death angel, was stayed on Mount Moriah. It is on that threshing floor that David, which David purchased, which David says to Solomon, build right here the temple. Solomon builds this beautiful and magnificent temple. Where the temple it was now is a Muslim mosque. The temple will be rebuilt. I've been down into the tunnels underneath looking at what they're developing very secretly and rebuilding the third temple. The second temple here needs to be rebuilt because the presence of Almighty God will dwell in the temple. Shekinah glory will dwell in this temple. And God says, focus your attention on the purpose for which I've established you here in the land. And He says, you've come back, you've lived comfortably, you've built your own houses, and my house lies waste. Keep in mind the purpose for the house, and that is that people all across the world would know of the name of the Lord. He says, and now you've focused your attention inwardly. You've focused your time and energy and monies and efforts to build your own self a comfortable life. And He says, I will not sit by idly and let my name be blasphemed. In verse number 4, He says, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? Now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, and this is what I want you to do tonight. Consider your ways. Consider your ways. You've sown much. Bring in little. He said you work and you work and you work and you bring in little. It's all to naught. He says, ye eat, but ye have not enough. You drink, but ye are not filled. He says, you try to fulfill your desires, and you're never fulfilled. You're never happy. He says, you clothe you, but there is none warm. He says, you try to provide for your family, but you just can't seem to make ends meet. He says, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. He says, you just can't get ahead in life, can you? He says, let me ask you to consider your ways. Verse number 7, again, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Consider your ways. May I say here this evening, the Lord has been so good to us. The Lord has blessed us. The Lord has redeemed us. The Lord has established us. The Lord has given us victory. The Lord has established our family and our home and our lives and planted us in a good church, and yet we're so quick to forsake Him when a little bit of opposition comes. He's called us to build His work. He's called us to build His house. And when opposition comes, we're quick to give up. We're spending more on our comforts and entertainment and pleasures than on carrying out the Lord's work. And may I say, you can do what you want with your life. You can spend your life seeking and striving to be comfortable. And living a comfortable life is not bad. The blessings of God upon this nation are not a bad thing. The blessings of God on this nation are not because we are better than any other people. If you've traveled to any other countries, you know that our DNA is no different from the DNA of any other people. The difference is we are a nation that for some 234 years have sent out the gospel. But look what happened to the children of Israel when they forsook their cause. Look what happened to Great Britain when they forsook the purpose God had for them, and that was to send out the gospel. Look what happens to churches today who cease to propagate the heathen with the gospel. God's hand of blessing and God's hand of protection ceases to be upon those nations, those churches, and those families. God has a purpose. God has a cause for this church. The purpose for this church is not that we gather together socially and be comfortable. The purpose of God's blessings upon this church and upon your family are not simply that we be blessed. God has blessed us for a purpose. God has blessed us that we might be a beacon of hope to this world. God has blessed us so that we might be a light unto a dark world. God has blessed us so that we might be a beacon of gospel to the heathen nations. We're light unto the nations, but when we forsake the purpose for which God has established us, it is then that God is not bound to bless us and is not bound to provide as He so abundantly has provided in the past. Christians spent more this year on pet food than they did on worldwide evangelism. I have nothing against pets. I have nothing against comforts. I have nothing against the blessings of God on your life, so long as those comforts do not become a hindrance to your carrying out the purpose for which God gave you those blessings. God has not blessed you for you simply to sit back and enjoy the blessings. He's blessed you so that the blessings can flow through you. God's blessings will stop and God's protection will stop when we cease to be the people that God wants us to be. The prophet says, consider your ways. What an indictment on God's people. When he says, I want to call your attention to the fact that my house lays waste. The purpose for my establishing you here is in ruins. While the cause of worldwide evangelism fails, and while the cause of worldwide evangelism suffers, we live in comforts here in America. It's not bad to enjoy these blessings. Use them to reach the lost with the gospel. Verse 5, again, he says, consider your ways. Verse 7, consider your ways. Consider your ways this evening. Verse number 7, consider your ways. Verse number 8, go up to the mountain and bring wood. He says, do you want to finally set your life in order? You want to finally have my hand upon you again? He says, I've disciplined you, I've dealt with you, and now I've restored a remnant to the land, and you're here, and now you're living comfortably. He says, look around you. You're trying to get ahead in life, and I'm not blessing you, I'm cursing you. Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, if you would. And in verse number 19, it says, is the seed yet in the barn? Yea, is yet the vine and the fig tree and the pomegranate and the olive tree hath not brought forth? He says, from this day will I bless you. May I say tonight that we need God's blessings. We cannot survive without God's hand upon us. This church will not survive past the time that God's hand ceases to be upon this church. God promises to keep His hand on this church so long as this church continues to be and to fulfill the purpose for which God built this church. He says, you want to finally set your lives in order? He says, consider your ways. The answer lies in resetting our priorities tonight. Back to chapter 1 and verse number 8. He says, go up to the mountain, bring wood, build a house, and I will take pleasure in it. That's what I want. I want God to take pleasure in my family. He says, I will be glorified. The purpose of our lives, whether we eat or drink, whatsoever we do, ought to be to glorify the name of the Lord God. Verse number 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little, and when ye brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because of mine house that is waste. He says, the cause of the Lord is in waste. He says, you run every man to his own house, therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew. The earth is stayed from her fruit, and I call for a drought upon the land, and upon the mountains, and upon the corn, and upon the new wine, and upon the oil, and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men, and upon cattle, upon all labor of the hands. He says, but do you want to set it in order? He says, put your focus back to where it should be. May I encourage you, the men of this church, the deacons of this church, the leaders of this church, leaders in families and homes, keep missions as a priority in this church. The needs of this church will continue to be met as long as this church continues to keep missions in the forefront. The needs of your home will continue to be met as you continue to put the Lord's work in this house as a priority in your home. When we begin to turn our attention inward and fail to fulfill the purpose for which God has established us here, it's then that God ceases to be bound to supply all our needs according to His riches and glory. As I see churches today, and I get a glimpse of churches every couple of years, one of the first signs of a church turning your attention inward is when that church begins to give less instead of more to missions, to the worldwide evangelism program. Not only monetarily, but how about your own children? God calls someone from your home to serve Him on the mission field. Is it a good thing or a bad thing in your home? Is it positive or negative? By the way, don't laugh at a family that has 8 or 10 kids that comes here to report as a missionary. That's where missionaries are coming from today. I recently spoke to someone who has been in missions all of his life about this issue of percentages in missions. He told me that 50% of missionaries on the field today are missionary kids. That's what I am. That's what my 7 brothers and sisters are. That's what my 2 uncles are. That's what my 4 cousins are. That's what my mother is. That's what my uncle is. Children of missionaries. 35% come from full-time Christian servants who give up a position in church to go serve on the mission. Only 15% of our missionaries today come from lay people, lay families in the churches. That's an indictment on our churches today. There are more missionaries coming home than there are going to the field in fundamental Baptist churches today. Why is that? Because we've focused more attention on our children getting a good secular education and making money and helping provide for and helping the parents. We've turned our attention inwardly. And I'm not saying that everyone needs to be a missionary. That's not God's purpose for every family. It is God's purpose for every family to be willing to serve the Lord. Maybe the reason God hasn't called your children is that He knows what your answer would be. May I say tonight, the prophet says, consider your ways. Consider your ways. In Haggai chapter 2, he encourages the people. And in verse number 4, he says, be strong. And he names the name of these leaders and he says, the Lord says, work. It says, be strong, all ye people of the land, saith the Lord, and work. That may be another reason why missionaries, folks don't like to give their lives to mission. May I say that worldwide evangelism is a lot of work. That's all it is. Take all the stars away. Take all the the glory away from it. And when you get down to the nitty-gritty of it, it's just a lot of work. We're made out to be heroes, and we appreciate the honor. We don't deserve it. We certainly appreciate it. But it's not a lot of glory and bells and whistles and stars when you're on the mission field. It's a lot of work. It's simply work. Carrying the gospel to the heathen. Children of Israel, following this message, chose to obey the Lord and finish rebuilding the temple. The issue of worldwide evangelism needs to be our cause and our purpose today. Starting in your Jerusalem, just as you heard today, reached through the bus ministry in the Jerusalem, and now taking the gospel to orphan kids to the regions beyond. May I say today that God wants to bless this church. God wants to fortify your family. Lord is not done working mighty works today. He says this temple that you rebuild will be greater than the first temple. Imagine the first temple, a glorious, beautiful piece of architecture. And he says, this second temple, I will give more glory to the second temple than to the first. He said, I'll do mightier works than I did whenever I brought you out of Egypt. May I say that God still has a lot to fulfill. God can still do great and mighty things through this church and through the missions program of this church. You can choose to live your life for yourself and not touch anyone around you. Not notice the bus kids who come here. Not notice the needs of your neighbors and folks in this community. Or you can give your life to the cause of Christ. You can give your life to the cause of His house. My grandfather decided to do that. And now, as a result of him giving his life, 12 of his 16 grandchildren are on the mission field today. Nearly 70 of his descendants are living on the mission field right now. Over 200 churches have been established throughout Latin America and in 7 different countries, on 3 different continents, because my grandfather gave his life to missions. What would have happened if he would have stayed? He would have earned a lot of money, lived a comfortable life, as would my dad have. But they chose to give their life to the Lord. Serve the Lord here in your house. Give your life to the cause of this house. And watch God bless your family. Watch God provide for you. Watch those bags that have holes in them become bags that not only provide for your family, but begin to be a blessing to others as well. God is simply saying here, keep the priority straight. Don't lose focus of the purpose for which I brought you back from captivity. Don't lose focus, dear father, dear mother, for the purpose that I have redeemed you, established you, and placed you in this church. It's not for you simply to enjoy the comforts that come along with salvation. It is that you use the blessings of God for the cause of this house. Let me ask every head bowed and every eye closed as Pastor comes. Consider your ways, the prophet says. Consider your ways tonight, Pastor.
I just want to say, you can look up here just for a second. But if you have a politician come to the pulpit, you expect him to speak about politics. If you have a policeman come in, you expect him to speak about public safety. If you have a missionary come in, doesn't surprise me, he challenges a church about missions. That's kind of what it is. And I appreciate that tonight, Brother Dave. You know, that was just straightforward, right to us. To stay on the right course. I appreciate that. He could have come in here and, stroked us a little bit. But he said some nice things, but he challenged us. And I like that because, folks, that's exactly what we need. I talked to our staff at Devotions this morning about, today was our calendar meeting. When I think of calendar meeting, I think of time, how quickly this year has flown by. I think about next year and the plans that we made today for next year. And, I don't want to just fill the time. I don't want to just pass the time. I want to use it. Use it. Invest it. For the glory of God. And I don't want to look at next year as just, okay, we're 42 years old as a church. Let's just ride this thing out now until Jesus comes. I mentioned the verse over in Amos, Brother Dave, chapter 5. He said, He said, you people, you talk about, oh, even so come, Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, when are you going to come? He said, to what end is it for you? You want Jesus to come, but what's going to happen when he does come? Are you ready to face him? You want him to come, but it's not going to do you any good. Because you've got to give an account for all that you wasted as a people. And I think about that. You know, we want Jesus to come. We look forward to heaven. There's nothing wrong with that. But friend, I'm thankful for the time that we have left, whatever time that is. I'm thankful for that time we have left to try to do something for the cause of Christ. You've been around here long enough. Surely you know by now that it's not about me getting my name in a publication or a paper. It's not about us reporting numbers. We've never done that. It's about being what God wants us to be in this community to try to do something for the cause of Christ. That involves our young people as well. So I appreciate the challenge tonight. And I think he's dead on target. I think a church that will put missions as a priority, and I mean not lose focus on it. You know what? It may not be that you have an increase every year in the dollar amount. I think we have every year but one. We dipped a little bit, what was it, 09? When the economic thing is. But we went up a little bit last year, a little bit this year. Going up a little bit this year over last year. But it's that emphasis. It's that priority. It's the passing out the prayer letters. It's going by and reading one on the wall. It's taking a few minutes to say, this family is doing this. I think God blesses a missions-minded church. And we had a missionary come tonight and say, hey, you know what? Just keep on keeping on. God will use you. I appreciate that. I mean that from the bottom of my heart. Let's stand, please. Thank you so much, Brother Sloan. Father in heaven, help us, I pray, to heed the message tonight from the veteran who's been on the field, not just himself with his family for 9 years, but reared on the mission field. And missionary parents, and God, missionary family. And he comes back to the States tonight to say it in a loving manner to us, not chiding us. Not, Lord, talking down to us, but encouraging us to stay with it. And I pray, God, that in these days, whatever time we have left on our time clock, as a church and as an individual, you'll keep us on the front lines and keep us for the cause of Christ moving forward. And keep calling out young people from this church to take the gospel, Lord, here in America and around the world. And keep us happy about it and positive and emphasizing the cause of Christ. Now, thank you for it. In Christ's name, I pray. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed, ladies.